Welcome to the Getting Past the Premium podcast, where we focus on breaking down risk management problems bit by bit until we find a solution. Enjoy today's episode and be sure to follow us for weekly content.
Welcome back to Getting Past the Premium, everybody. We have today with me a great dude in CJ Hudson Pillar. I'm excited to jump into this conversation with you, dude, but how you doing today?
Man, I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm good, man. It's a nice day out. Can't beat it. It's Wednesday. You know, we're over the hump, so.
Hump day on the downhill slide now.
Right? There you go. There you go. Well, man, I've been following you on Twitter for a while, and you know, you put out a lot of the stuff you're doing, from whether it's industry related or AI or automation, and it's just fun to see what you've been doing. But let's take a step back, walk everybody through, you know, kind of how you got to where you're at today, your background in the industry. I know it's a family business, which I can relate to. So jump into kind of how you got to where things are at today.
Yeah, sure. So quick, like 30-second background. This is my, I don't even remember how long I've been in insurance now, like 15 years, I guess. I actually graduated high school in 2006. My family has an insurance agency, and part of the requirements for being in the family is when you get old enough to have an insurance license, you have to go get it. So I did, had that for a couple of years, did some serving jobs, did some stuff like that. And then when I was 20, in 2008, I decided to jump in full time, and I was like, "Hey mom, I'm ready to come work." And she's like, "Well, that sucks because I'm not going to hire you." And it was like, okay, well, so anyway, we kind of went back and forth. You know, I mean, my mom is an absolute rock star. She just retired this year after 44 years in this business. But her perspective was, I was still really young and I was still really dumb. and you know, she kind of had a reputation. So anyway, she initially didn't want to hire me. She had a receptionist position become available. She's looking for somebody to answer the phones, and I applied for it.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And she was like, "I mean, you want to be a receptionist?" I was like, whatever you want me to do. Like, I'll do whatever it is. So, ended up hiring me. I was a receptionist for like a year and a half. Then I got moved over into customer service. So I did customer service for a couple of years, and then sales. And then that's when she kind of started handing me the reins on the sales side, which is where I got to start playing with automation, you know, at scale, and the rest is history. So that's kind of the quick little backstory there of how I ended up in the insurance business.
Oh, that's awesome. I can relate to a lot of that. So I was 06, graduated high school as well, but then started right after school in 2010, but similar path. I wasn't quite, it wasn't a requirement in the family, but now it's, my dad still is in the business, and me, my younger brother, so, and my cousin. So yeah,
that's awesome. Family businesses are cool, man. There's a unique dynamic there, as long as they are, the only thing with family business is, just as long as everything's earned and not given, right? Yep. That's the key to making sure everything works right.
No, I 100% agree with that. And that's not always the case in our industry, you know, and I know a lot of folks that talk a lot about that, but I agree with you there. And I will say also, as long as you can separate the two away from the dinner table and things, like, cause it's really easy to only talk work. And like, my wife just is like, "You guys got to shut up." Like, you know?
Yeah. So my wife actually worked for she still does, but she worked for the agency as well. And yeah, we would find ourselves doing, you know, we would be talking work at, you know, 9:45 on a Saturday PM, right? It's like, "Hey, we gotta turn that out." So we try not to talk too much shop.
Have some boundaries. That's awesome. That's awesome. So some of the stuff that I mentioned, I'm super intrigued in what you're doing. You know, AI right now is like the hot topic, and it's like AI is being built into everything, right? But you have been doing automation work for a long time, and you just kind of referenced it there as we were talking, but dive into that a little bit, like how you started working with automation, and then where that's kind of led you to today with some of the experimentation and things you've been doing with AI on top of that.
Yeah, sure. So the, you know, our agency, like a lot of family agencies, you know, when I started, it was literally, it was three of us. It was my mom, me up there answering the phones, doing the non-pay calls, and we had a CSR. Right? And that was it. That was all. And I think a lot of agencies that are that small tend to fall into that. We've always done it this way, so we're not going to really try to change it. This is the way that we do it. Well, I am one of those that, like, inefficiencies just fly all over me. Like, I can't, like, when there's something that's that I'm having to do that's just repetitive and, you know, anything like that, I start going, well, how can I automate this, right? Yeah. Like, how can we make this better? And so that was kind of where we started was, all right, what is the thing that I have in my day-to-day that's annoying to me? And how can I make it to where I don't have to do it anymore? And so, you know, we'd start and whatever that thing was. I think for me, and you're going to laugh at what it was, but I think our first thing that I can remember us automating was outside of like our phone system and stuff like that, we automated quote intake forms, right? I was terrible at like when somebody called for a quote, it never made it into the AMS. Like that, that was like this. If I wrote it, it did, but if I didn't, it didn't. And, you know.
Yeah, handwritten notes and yeah, over I got, here, I took
freaking post-it notes everywhere, right? Yeah, like, and so like automating the fact that I could have like, here's a landing page that I can go to and host. And then when I complete this information, it puts it into, you know, my CRM or my AMS. That was kind of like our first step into that. And I think where a lot of agencies mess up is they say, okay, I want to do automation. And then they want to do everything at once. And, totally. And that's a recipe for disaster. It's a slow process over time, you know, starting out with the thing that is making you, you know, because repetitive tasks are also not profitable tasks. Mm-hmm. Like that's typically like, so eliminating that or automating that to make you more efficient there frees you up to do other things and so on and so forth down the road.
Yeah. Well, the key there to me is, you went out to solve a problem, right? You realize that by doing this repetitive task, I'm not able to be as efficient or productive or use my time in other places as I could be. That's a problem to me. And then you sought out technology to solve that. And I think, you know, you're right. Everybody tries to either eat the elephant in one bite or they go shiny object syndrome, right? Well, oh, this is a sweet tool, or it'd be sweet if I could automate, you know, all of this. And, you know, it's not really problem solving. It's just kind of cool. Yeah. And then we just end up with a whole bunch of tools in our tech stack that we're not really using, we're paying for and all this stuff. But when applied the way we've all been there, I'm as guilty as anybody. I even say that to our team. I'm like, you gotta like tell me to pump the brakes sometimes because I'm like always on to the next thing. But it's tough to do. But also, you know, our industry is naturally repetitive, right? We naturally have to do the same things for clients, and it's a great way to, if you have the right mentality, identify those things. You're not going to be able to solve them all with technology. First off, you should try to solve them with process. And do I need?
I was just about to go there. That's kind of the core of it. You got to have a process first. You can't automate anything without a process.
100%. So maybe talk through that. Like, how do you, you know, when you're working on stuff, is it just natural to you, or do you have a process to, you know, develop the either the process or it, make it more efficient, automated, et cetera?
Yeah. So for me, like, I like to map out the problem. Like, all right, here's what the thing is. And then here's the end result. And like, here's all the speed bumps that are within that. And I like to try to map that out in the most efficient way. For me, I used to jot them down. Like, I would literally make, like, I almost call them like conversation maps, almost like a script, if you will.
Yeah, like a mind map. Yeah.
Yeah, but for different things. And now I use a program called Lucidcharts, which if you've ever used it, it's very visual, allows you to play with, you know, things, click here, and that kind of stuff, just so that I can visually build it. Because once you visually can see it, the implementation of it becomes drastically easier. Because then you've essentially created a blueprint for it, and then you can implement it that way.
Yeah, I think I just pulled it up. I think I've used a similar one it wasn't quite as easy, but called Miro. Is that
what
that
is? Not familiar with that one. Okay. I didn't, when I looked at the charts, I did zero research on it. It was, hey, this one does it. Cool, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a whole lot of thought process behind it.
Sometimes that's the best though, right?
Exactly. You're talking about, you know, you end up with technology you don't use. I'm a quick on the draw kind of guy. Yeah. Like, all right, yeah, let's do it. Cool. Let's try it. You know, one of those, but I just as quickly though, I'm quick to get rid of it too.
Yep.
Like, so, you know, you can play on both fields there.
Well, and you should, I mean, cause you don't know until you try. Right.
Right.
But you got to have that way to evaluate it and think, is this getting me what I thought I was going to get to? Right.
Right. Exactly.
So how, like, I'm trying to go back to a little bit though, how you even like got into this. So you're trying to solve some of the issues, problems that you've had. Right. Mm-hmm. But how did you start to even think like automation technology? Cause I feel like you've been doing this, and what I've followed you in Twitter and other podcasts you've done, you've been doing this for a while, right? Of like automating different tasks and things. Like what led you down that path? You know, is it just something, did somebody show you some of this? Was it natural to you to like explore it? Or how did you get to, cause I think that's where a lot of people sit, is like, particularly with AI right now, is like, it seems like it's this big mysterious thing that nobody even wants to dive in and try, cause it's way too complex and people make it bigger than it needs to be. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So, I'll tell you a quick story because I think it's funny and kind of relevant to the, you know, what we're talking about here. My first automation was math class, my junior year of high school. I'm not great. I'm not one of those people that is naturally gifted at math. It's just not. You said you graduated in 2006. We're the same age. So you had the lovely TI-83 graphing calculator.
Oh, right? Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, had the TI-83s. I was terrible at quadratic equations, which is like algebra 2, you know, got two. Anyway, I don't even want to dive into it. I was terrible at it. But what I figured out is that the answer to it was a system, right? It's you do this step, do it this way every time, and you'll get the correct answer. So I was actually able to write a calculator program that you could enter in the problem and it would spit out the answer. And so that was my first automation.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. And so that mentality kind of going into agency of, you know, it's the things, our agency had no money. That was the other thing. Like my mom's book was what a lot of people would consider when I came into the agency, she was floating on the renewals, right? Like she writes some policies here and there, but like not anything like she was being aggressive about trying to grow. And so with that, we just had to, everything was bootstrapped, if you will. So building out, I'd see a tool that somebody else had and go, okay, how can I do that? Right. And so whatever that kind of, you said shiny object syndrome, if you will. I had that, but I had like poor man shiny object syndrome. Like how can I see this Tesla and make it cheaper than I can buy a Tesla for? Yeah. Right. Like that's kind of how I looked at it. So again, I think it goes back to baby stepping into it. You know, if AI is something that intrigues you, right? The first thing that you have to do is find a use case. Or find somebody else that's using it for something and baby step into that and say, okay, I'm going to try it for this one itsy bitsy little thing and then get that and understand it. And then say, okay, now that I'm doing this itsy bitsy thing, let's do this next thing. And then it scales up.
Yep.
That's how I do it.
I totally agree. Cause again, like, I mean, you just have no idea the application of it until you start to mess around with it. And then it changes, right? Like when I was first just messing around with like ChatGPT, now they have plugins. Now they have Code Interpreter. Now they have like all these other things. And like, I remember when Code Interpreter first was released, it's like,
Code Interpreter is my favorite thing in the entire world.
Oh, dude, I'd love to hear what you're all doing with it. Cause it, I mean, I haven't even scratched the surface, but like it seems though that name makes it sound like this is like something a developer is going to do, you know, and then you like actually see it in action and you're going, well, that's really simple actually.
Yeah.
You know, and Code Interpreter for those listening is a plugin with, or it's actually built into ChatGPT. If you have the paid version, but essentially you could put in like an Excel document with data in it and start asking ChatGPT about the Excel doc. It can reformat things, and CJ, you could probably give 10 other use cases for it, but that's it at its most basic format.
Well, 100%. You know, the power of it is honestly like kind of mind boggling at like how it is, what it does. I'll give you an example, like a real life use case of something that we're doing right now. We're changing some of the ways that we do customer service, right? And specifically, you know, we were reassigning CSRs within our agency, like who's dealing with what accounts and, you know, that kind of thing. Well, we have this spreadsheet that had like everybody on it and all our CSRs. And this thing is like literally 6,000 lines long, right? And it has, you know, the customer, the account first and last name, the total premium for the account, and then like the number of active policies and the CSR that's on it. And so my intent was, I was like, okay, how can I go about dividing these up amongst our CSRs, but I also want to keep the premium volume close to the same between the three. Right.
Yeah.
And so if you wanted to do that manually, I don't know how you would even do it.
Where do you even start? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. With Code Interpreter, I literally upload that spreadsheet, said this column shows my CSRs, this column shows the premiums of the accounts, divide up these CSRs equally on young accounts and keep it as even as possible. Or something to that effect. And when it popped back out, you know, it had assigned like 5 million in premium to each one of them. And then it was within like, I forget, it was like within like $7,000 in premium on all three. Wow. You know,
and it's in an Excel doc again, right? They just
100%. Yep. Yeah. So then literally I just take that, uploaded it back into my AMS and boom, I'm done.
Yeah. Done.
Like beautiful, beautiful.
Ah, it's crazy. I know. And like, so on that same note, another one that is cool for everybody to think about is the Ask Your PDF. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah. Plug-in. Yeah. Ask Your PDF is a good one. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And one of the things, though, that I see application in our industry is like I was just using it for a client safety program, and I haven't built out like the best practices checklist. But my thought was, OK, if I could get their safety program in a PDF, I could prompt it to say, hey, here's a safety program. I'm looking for these 10 things in the safety program to see if it's best practices. How does it compare to my checklist or whatever? Now I don't have that checklist built out, but I uploaded one and just started asking a question. Does it have this? Does it have that? And it'll break down the whole PDF, tell you what's in there. How does it, compare to what I'm asking, you know, so if it does it have a return to work program for workers' compensation or whatever, you know, here's what it has and here's how it fits and so on and so forth. But again, I think about that application. If I'm a producer and I'm trying to find a hole in a client safety program, I could create a really efficient process just through prompting even. You know, it doesn't have to be APIs or anything. You just upload that on Ask Your PDF, pop it in and copy your prompt over and you'd be good to go.
Absolutely.
And it would give you.
You know what else something Ask Your PDF is really good at that I think a lot of agents, especially new agents, could really, really benefit from? Now, obviously, it's not 100% accurate every time, but policy analysis for coverage questions. Hey, is this claim scenario covered? You can literally upload a copy of their policy, ask the question, and it will read the language and say, hey, I think it is or it isn't or it might be depending on these scenarios. And it's almost always right. I would say it's right more than your typical CSR is right on that question.
Yeah. All right. I know. And so I've tried that piece. I've noticed that, you know, certain carriers, while it's in PDF, they've got different formats and it's better at reading some than others.
Some of them aren't actual PDFs. They're just like scanned images.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but you're right. I mean, and again, it's to me, it's like, if this can help, number one, we're at the forefront of this whole thing. So it's only going to get better.
100%.
And number two is if it can get me 50, 60, 70, 80% of the way there, like that's a major improvement. And, you know, knowing it's not going to be fully 100% accurate every time, but that's where you want that human to be able to evaluate it and say, you know, does this make sense or not? Right. And there's so many applications of it for stuff like that. What are you doing now from an AI perspective? Let's get to the fun. We've already talked about some fun stuff, but, cause I know, am I right in thinking that you've actually released a paid course that people can take to, did I see that somewhere?
Yeah. Yeah, we do have a course. It's essentially the basics of AI. We have about 25 pre-built things that you can do with it. Everything from, like complex things like an AI life insurance agent that can sell life insurance to basic things like how to do correct prompting to generate efficient responses for employee handbooks or whatever you're trying to do. We do some stuff in the middle of that. But as far as like what I'm doing, man, I'm constantly playing with like once a day. Like I'm at least in there doing at least like 20, 30 minutes worth of stuff in there. I've talked about a lot of it on some of my other podcasts. I'll give you some stuff that I haven't talked about on the others. I'll get a few just so people know, like we have AI listen to phone calls. That one's pretty straightforward.
Is that through Whisper?
Yeah, it is through Whisper. Yeah. Okay. So essentially,
what's your phone system? Sorry.
We use Vonage is ours, but basically any VoIP system that has the ability to record calls and has some way to trigger either through an API or a Zap to trigger based off a recording, you could use this for. And essentially what it does is it takes that file, transcribes it, analyzes it, summarizes it, puts it in my MS at its core. So we do that. We have an AI life insurance agent to where you can go on our website, put in four or five parameters of like, you know, your mortgage balance. And, you know, we don't do it. We're not a fancy life shop. I'm throwing air quotes around that. Yeah. We do just term people that don't have, like, we're not trying to do anything like investing or anything like that. I stay in my lane hardcore on that kind of stuff. But like it'll go through and I'll ask them, you know, how many kids do you have that are under 14? What kind of mortgage balance do you have? Debt, blah, blah, blah. You know, the basic things. It takes all those parameters, feeds it into ChatGPT. ChatGPT then determines how much life insurance coverage that person should have. Then it runs it through another API that we have with one of our life carriers that quotes it based off that amount and what they told us. And then it puts all of that into text and actually will send the customer an email that's telling them why it selected the amounts that it selected and trying to sell them the initial contact. So essentially the idea is if somebody goes on your website, they fill out a contact form for life insurance, they fill it out, and within like a minute and a half, they have like a customized email in their inbox from us with the quote ready to go, like just that quickly.
What are your thoughts on that? What, two questions before you keep going. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have it send from you or do you have it send from the Hudson Spiller AI bot or something?
I have it sent from me because I want to see the response, but I also have it put in there that this is an automated response and we may do something different. But I will say this. I haven't had it mess up yet. I actually posted it in an insurance group because I wanted to try it. Like I needed to get some scale in it just to see. We had about 199 people use it like the first day that I did because I was just shy of 200 and it didn't miss, man. Like, wow. Some of them were a little like, I probably would have said that a little differently, but all of them would have worked. Right. Yeah. So that was pretty cool. But right now, what I'm really diving into that I think is fun is using ChatGPT to write website code. Most people don't have the skill set needed to write any kind of cool stuff for their website, right? Yeah. So one thing that we do a lot of, flood insurance. We have a ton of realtors that are constantly calling us, hey, is this house in the flood zone? Is this what's the zone? What's the price? What would it be? Like a ton of that. And probably 85% of it is completely tire kicking. Meaning they didn't actually buy this house. They're thinking about it, kicking it or whatever. So for my team, it's kind of inefficient, right? Yeah. So we built out a couple of years ago, we built out a chatbot that could do all that for them where we didn't actually physically have to talk to them. Well, now we've built out a thing on our website where they can go through and fill it out. And then it actually quotes it and displays the quote on the screen, much like you'd see if you went to geico.com and tried to get a quote. It does all that through ChatGPT. It built the front end. It built the back end. It showed us how to set up the server, all of it. And literally it was just, okay, do this. Copy, paste, put it in. Did you do it? Yes, I did. Okay, cool. Now do this. And it walks you through it. And dude, it's unbelievable. And then all you have to do is go back and, you know, tell it to make it prettier because yeah. by default it's going to be pretty plain. But stuff like that, you know, that is an endless capability there.
I totally agree. Well, but I want you to kind of demystify this for a minute. So let's go back to that automated life insurance example, right? Because to, I think a lot of people that aren't familiar with, you know, the API side of OpenAI or how that connects to ChatGPT or plugins, like that can sound very complex and like, I don't know how to do that. So like without getting super technical, but like walk through how essentially easy that actually is to do.
So for something like that, we would use Zapier, which is an automation platform. If people aren't familiar with it, essentially the easiest way to describe it is it takes apps or applications that you have that don't naturally connect and connects them, right? And it does that behind the scenes through APIs, but it's a lot prettier than you having to go in and try to write code, right? So in that instance, let's walk through exactly what happens with that one. We're writing steps, right? The first step is a customer goes on our website and they fill out a contact form, right? And I'm sure everybody that's listening to this has some website contact form. It's exactly the same thing. They hit submit on the contact form and that triggers this automation to run, right? So they sent that data in. From there, we run it through, again, we just, the second step of the Zap is we use ChatGPT. And we feed it a prompt that is filled in by the data that they gave us in the web form. So they went through and the prompt would say something like, how much life insurance would somebody need that has a mortgage of blank, whatever they put, and this many children under 6 or 12 or 14 or whatever. You just prompt it in that way with and it fills in every time. So every user that uses it, it's going to spit out something different. And then you tell it, hey, just return the number. Like, I don't want to know anything else, but just give me the number. And it pops out the number. And so that's step two. Step three would probably be the most complicated part. Depending on who you're using, we use Back9 for our life insurance stuff. Back9, I always describe them as, they're not everybody's favorite, but here's what they are really, really good at. They're good at tech. They are very, very good at tech.
I'm not even familiar with them, but yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, I always describe them as a tech company that happens to sell life insurance. That's kind of the deal. And they're a brokerage, just like anybody else, you know, that's out there. But they have an API that I can take that data, the quote amount, the date of birth and everything from the contact form, and I can actually submit that to them and it'll return, you know, 10 quotes from carriers based off those parameters. So it'll return, you know, 10 quotes. Obviously, the first one is always the cheapest. So we go with that one. And then we add one more step and we just tell ChatGPT, this is John Smith. And we think John Smith needs this much life insurance because he has this mortgage, this thing, you know, whatever. We just type that out. And then we'll say, write an email to him telling him that this would be his rate and this is how much coverage he would need and this is why he needs that much coverage and explain it and sell it. And ChatGPT will write this beautiful email, trying to sell it. And then it's just a matter of connecting it into, like, we use Gmail. So the last step would be, you know, Gmail. It just populates that response into the email body and send it. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. I mean, if you said, hey, CJ, put you on the clock, how long would it take you to build this in Zapier? I could build that whole thing out in 7 minutes, probably. Yeah. It wouldn't take much.
Well, the first step is just, again, trying out Zapier, right? Yeah. And testing out, connecting some of these things. And once you figure out the capabilities, it actually gets pretty simple. I mean, a lot of these tools have gotten so, you know, low code, no code, or whatever that term is. That
codeless. Yeah. Codeless.
You don't have to know any code. It's click here, move there, you know, drag this over here kind of methodology, but it makes a ton of sense. And it makes it a lot easier for guys like us to be able to go do that.
Exactly. And, you know, I'll give you an example of something that people could automate very quickly using Zapier it would immediately set you apart from 99% of the other agencies in your area. And it would take you 3 seconds to set it up. Step one, somebody submits a form on your website, right? They want to contact you for whatever reason. What do they get now? Everybody gets that generic, we'll reach back out to you in 3 to 4 business, yeah. whatever they get, right? Rather than have it send that, run a prompt through ChatGPT off of their response. Hey, I work for an insurance agency in Nashville, Tennessee. John Smith has contacted us about blank, like whatever he said in the thing. Write a quick response letting him know that we got his response and we'll be in touch with him soon. And it's going to spit out this custom email. Then you can use that as the autoresponder going back to him. And you've immediately set yourself apart, because when they went to every other website, they got this generic, we'll call you back, you know, thing, whereas yours is going to look really, really clean and efficient.
Yeah. You made me think of one use case, and there was just around renewals of, you know, a lot of particularly small, more transactional type of business. You know, you could have ChatGPT write custom renewal, you know, responses to them to kick off the renewal process, that have a 3 touch point campaign that's at 90 days and 45, and then a week before renewal, and then even follow up after the renewal if you want, and have it all written custom to that client, and it's low or no touch from your team kind of thing.
100%. One of the things we teach in Agent AI is the using it for follow-up campaigns. So, like, you know, you can literally go through and have it, you know, basically it's all from the prompting, right? So for people that aren't familiar with it, ChatGPT has 2 things: prompts and responses. You tell it this, it responds with this, right? And that's literally all it is. And so the prompting is important, but you can go through and say, you know, all right, let's say you're doing a campaign for life insurance to your existing clients, and you want to send them 4 emails about life insurance or whatever.
What would the trigger be on something like that?
So on something like that would be more of something you build into your agency management system, like some of the touch points that are coming out of your agency management system, or depending on what you're using. But, you know, all of your major AMSs have the ability to have like these sequences of emails go out, right? So, you know, AMS 360, QQ Catalyst, EC Links, all of those can do that functionality. And then you can literally just say, you know, these 10 people are customers of, or this email is going to a customer of Hudson Door Insurance, and they currently have their auto and homeowners insurance, but they don't have life insurance. Write me 10 emails that I can send them over a year to remind them to get life insurance. And it's going to spit out your 10 emails. Yeah. You load those up into your system and you're off to the races.
Yeah. And then I've loved to take that one a step further and say, what would the top 3 objections be that I might get after each email, and how would I overcome them, or something like that, you know?
And one of the most powerful things about ChatGPT specifically that I think a lot of people don't grasp is the way that ChatGPT has conversations.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of systems, like if you Google search something, right? You Google, you know, whatever it is that you Googled, it's going to return a bunch of responses. But if those responses aren't exactly what you were looking for, you don't have a way to tell Google, oh, hey, no, I meant to do this, without having to go and start over. What ChatGPT allows you to do is have a conversation. So if we're doing exactly what he was just talking about, we can start with, the prompt could be, I have customers that have auto and homeowners insurance with my agency. What are 3 reasons that you think people would not have life insurance with me? You know, spit them out, however you want to prompt it. And then you literally say, write 5 emails that keep those 3 objections in mind, and write the emails based off of that. And it'll spit those out. And being able to consistently have these like open conversations where you can ask over and over and have the conversation build on itself, that is what's so unique about ChatGPT, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I like to think about it as like a brainstorming partner, like a assistant, a really good one. That's an expert in the area. Like a what?
A really, really good brainstorming partner.
Yeah. You know, it's like an expert in that particular genre or area, whatever you're talking about, that you can just create different conversations with, take it in different directions, ask it different ways, and you're going to learn that whole time too. Like, I think it's such a powerful tool if you're a young producer, young service person in the industry. Again, you have to be careful because it's not always going to be perfectly accurate around like a coverage or something like that. I mean, it's pretty damn close to accurate.
Especially if you feed it a policy, then it's real good.
Yeah,
it's really, really good. Yeah,
totally. But I mean, I just think about like those things. Like as a young producer, I mean, I've had it build out an entire niche marketing program. If I was green and I just said, "Hey, I want to target multi-location restaurants," and had it everything from like, what are the top risks they're concerned about right now? What, write me email campaigns, write me top scripts if I'm cold calling, objections if I'm cold calling, give me scenario analysis. Like you can do that whole thing. And like, you could literally have an entire niche marketing plan built with content, blog ideas, like everything in a day, not even a couple hours.
Way quicker. And if you had to do that manually.
Oh my God. Years.
It would take you forever, but B, like mentally, like you'd be gassed by the time you were done. This allows you just it'll spit it out, and you can continue on with your day for sure.
Yeah, and I think you know our industry is one that you know you can go get licensed, you can have the book knowledge, but it takes experience. It takes you just have to get into some of these scenarios to understand like how does this apply, and you know you get a claim and you're like, oh my God, this is going to happen. And it's really not as bad as you might think it is, you know, or whatnot.
Right.
You learn how to talk through those things with clients. I mean, I feel like, again, this type of technology accelerates that learning curve significantly if you use it correctly.
100%.
Even if you're not using it to learn, but you're using it as automation, like you said, what it spits out, you're going to be learning too. Right.
Right. And it learns too.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the part that's really, really wild is like, you know, let's say you write an article that you have it write a blog. That's just the simplest basic thing that it can do, right? Writes you a blog and you're like, dude, this is terrible. You can literally just go, hey, take out the part about this, take out that, rephrase this. I don't like this. You want to just tell it. And then it's like, oh, okay, here you go.
Yeah.
And here's the next one.
That I agree. So I want to go back to one other thing, though, because this is a big, I think, use case for agencies that I don't want to overlook. You mentioned how you're connecting Whisper to your phone system, transcribing, having it put into your AMS.
Yeah.
I want to dive a little bit deeper on that one from the standpoint of E&O in our firms, right? Because again, this is, I think, a massive application that you can use a technology like this to significantly decrease the risk that your agency has, because now you have every recorded conversation that you've had transcribed so that you can go back and reference, right?
Right.
And I think that's super important because that's stuff that's not typically captured unless you're recording calls and uploading them to your AMS.
Somebody still has to listen to them. That's the other thing. They've got to listen to the call to even get it. Yeah, no, absolutely.
Well, and I would imagine this is going to be my kind of question for you in Whisper. Like, can you have it say, you know, have it summarized, do the transcription, and then summarize it to put into like notes. So, you know, like our team has a conversation with a client, then they go into the activity in the AMS, type out their notes. CJ said this, he just bought a house, he's doing that. You know, can you have it summarize a lot of those notes from the conversation to be put into the activity?
Yeah. So the way that ours would look let's at our agency with this is they are on the phone with the customer. They're talking to the customer. They go through everything. They hang up the phone. You wait 60 seconds and the summary of the notes is already in the AMS. Is that
what AMS are you using?
We use QQ Catalyst.
Oh, that's probably yeah. We use
QQ's got a pretty good, if you know, I hate to even bring it up because it's kind of an advanced use case, but QQ has a really, really good API. They just don't talk about it.
So
it's like one of those that like you have to know where to look to get it, but it works out really, really well. But yeah, no, absolutely. And the other thing too, for like, you know, going from an E&O perspective, how many team members do you guys have at your agency?
We're about 60.
Okay. So you have 60 team members. I have 15, so I'm notably smaller. But as a manager, right? There's 0% chance that you can know what all's going on in your agency on every phone call. It can't happen. It's physically impossible. But what Whisper allows you to do is, like, and this is the way we have it set up in our agency, is every phone call is transcribed and notes are generated. Fine. But we also have a Slack channel that drops the summaries of these calls into, and myself and my managers have access to it. So what we'll do is we just throughout the day kind of keep an eye on, okay, here's who called, this is what they were talking about, whatever. But the other cool thing that we can do is based on the transcription, we can have ChatGPT analyze the tone of the call. What was the tone? And so we have it set up to where it will alert us if we have a call that comes in that the tone was the customer was angry or they were frustrated or whatever. And so we can go and focus in on that particular call and say, okay, what happened in this particular situation? And that is and I apologize for the train in the back. That is a really, really effective way to help you as you scale your agency up to be able to keep your finger on what's going on.
Yeah.
You know? That way you like, all right, like it happens almost every single day. I'll see something pop up in our Slack channel that we have for it. And I'll go ask the producer, and they're like, well, how'd you know I talked to such and such? And I'm like, I know. Right. We actually didn't tell them. We didn't tell them we did it.
Yeah.
And so we start seeing all these things. And I'm like, they're like, how did you know that? I'm like, well, I have my ways. Right. Yeah. But keeps us from having to listen to all the phone calls and allows me to like really quickly skim and kind of get an idea of, okay, here's what everybody was doing today. Here's how these conversations were going.
Well, and I would think too, from a sales perspective, there has to be a massive use case from transcribing it. And then, you know, depending on the outcome of the call, having ChatGPT even give that producer, like say that they got an objection and then here's how they handled it. Well, how are three other ways that I could have handled that more optimally or whatever? Or those types of things that are just going to make you better at your craft by reanalyzing what you did, how you went about the conversation, et cetera.
Absolutely. Now let's take it a step further. Let's say that you have team members that are like pure sales. Like they're just taking inbound calls for sales. Obviously they've got these calls, you've got transcriptions, and then we've got a summary. That's fantastic. We can take that a step further and have ChatGPT say, okay, analyze this transcription and write a follow-up email to the customer thanking them for taking your call. And literally 5 minutes after they get off the phone, they've got an email thanking them for taking the time for going being on the call. And the AI references things that were talked about. It's like, you know, let's say they were calling the app car or they wanted to insure their Subaru, right? Like, hey, you know, really pumped that you're going to let us insure your Subaru. You know, we'd love to help you, blah, 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 blah. Whatever you want to say. And then 5 minutes later, they've got that custom email. Like, that's a touch, man.
Yeah.
like that's a hit. And so you can do that. And because it's automated and because it's, you know, we have the ability to build in automations with this, it's scalable. So your agency of 60 people can use it. My agency of 15 and Joe Schmo and himself can use it, all in the same way. So
nice. Lots of stuff. That's pretty sweet. I had not necessarily thought about that piece. Does it then go into like the outbox and does the person, I'm sure you could do it both ways, I guess, have it sent automatically or have, you know, the person review and click send?
Either one. Yeah. You could do it either way. I personally on stuff like that, I want to see it.
Yeah.
just like it can be a one touch send, but like until I trust it. Which honestly, like if you ask me, like, hey CJ, would you do it today in your agency without letting it see it? I think I'd still do it. But I just like to see it. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't pick up everything that happened on the call. And you just want to make sure that, you know, that you don't want to make yourself look bad, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if that is a potential. But a lot of cool stuff you can do.
Oh, 100%. No, I think we could sit here and talk about use cases probably forever, but we've been going for a while. What is there anything that you guys are doing or that you think are use cases that we haven't talked about or, you know, you haven't talked about on other shows that, you know, you think are really cool that, you know, really the insurance industry should be looking at, considering, or things that you think we could take it, you know?
Yeah. So I think one right now that we use it and it's part of the AI that I feel like is not. It's not quite there, but it's really close. And that is video creation. There's a lot of stuff that you can do with video creation. One of the things that we have currently, and honestly, it's not bad. I post them. So I still put these out there. But anytime that we get a Google review, right? Gives us Google review. We have ChatGPT respond to the Google review, by the way. It automatically does that, but that's not. Yeah. So it automatically responds, thanking them, blah, blah, blah. That's cool. But taking that a step further, having it, we send it to a company called Synthesia, which is an AI video company. And before it goes to Synthesia, so the person leaves the review, it goes to ChatGPT. ChatGPT writes a script. And the script is, hey, write a script for a video where we're going to read a Google review left by John Smith. And the review said this, and then thank John for leaving the review, right? It creates a script. We pass that off to Synthesia, and Synthesia makes a video of a girl standing in front of our office. She's standing in front. She's reading the review, and she said, hey, guys, today we got a review from John Smith, and he said this about our agency. And then it stops, and then it'll say, John, we just wanted to take a second. We really appreciate you taking the time to leave that review. And if we can help any of you else out there, please let us know. Now, the problem with it is the video is not quite there. Yeah. You can still tell that the voice is a little off. But like you said earlier, this is all really, really early, right? Give it a year and see what that looks like. And I bet at some point it'll become indistinguishable. And that's where we're trying to be ahead of that curve. Because once you've got that, I'm just going to have a freaking YouTube channel full of nothing but, 3 minute long AI avatars reading my Google reviews. whatever. And you can change up the avatar. You can make it different. There's a freaking Santa one on there. Dude, Christmas this year, game on. I'm going to go buck wild on Santa Claus. at the end of the year. But a lot of really cool stuff that you can do from the video side. It's not quite there yet, but it's close.
Well, and what it does a lot, though, is allows you to use content in so many different ways. You create the content once, you're getting one Google review, but you're using it in multiple other ways. You know, when I think about writing a blog post or something, you could have it create your social media posts after that for any specific app you want to post on. You can take that. I don't remember the particular product, but doing the same thing that you're talking about, but creating a video that is about the blog post, not with a person in it, but it's just like a slideshow kind of thing that talks about the
Visca or something like that.
Yeah,
there's a plugin for it in ChatGPT actually.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So again, you create one piece of content. You have 8, 9, 10 different use cases for that piece of content that are only going to make it go broader. And doing that with, in a tenth of the time that it would otherwise take you to do it.
Absolutely. One thing my team does, and this is a hack. You want a life hack? I got a life hack for your audience here. Every time somebody calls our office and asks a question about their insurance, doesn't matter what it is, my team has ChatGPT write a Facebook post about it. And it says, we had a client call and ask this question about their auto insurance. Create a Facebook post for me to post that tells people the question, answers it, and explains it. There it is. Okay, cool. Post. And they just constantly, and then people all the time are like, y'all put out such educational content. It's awesome. Not really. We just taking questions that people are asking us and flipping it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Great idea. Well, that's awesome, dude. So if anybody wants to get a hold of you, wants to learn more about what you're doing, get your course, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So I'm the only CJ Hudson Pillar on the internet. That's a big advantage for me. I tell people the easiest way to get me is email cj@hutins.com.
Perfect. Have ChatGPT write an introductory email to CJ you'll probably get it.
And I may or may not respond. I don't respond, AI absolutely.
Yep. There you go. That's awesome, dude. Well, hey, man, this has been fun. We'll probably have to do it again at some point as this stuff progresses, because I think what you are doing is super cool. And I think we need more people that are experimenting and trying it out and then sharing what they're learning, because that's ultimately how we're all going to get better. And having an abundance mindset, which it sure seems like you do for our industry, is only going to, rising tide raises all ships. So
100%. We got to fight the direct to consumers. That's the way I look at it.
100%. So, all right, man. Well, thank you. Have a good rest of the week. And we'll talk soon.
All right, man. Have a great day.
See ya.
Thank you for tuning in to Getting Past the Premium. We are excited to continue breaking down barriers and finding solutions together. If you would like to reach out regarding anything you heard in today's episode, find links and contact info in the description. Until next time, have a great day.